Christ's first coming, and it's also this hope that we have for his return or his second coming. And that question that is phrased in that song, Mary, did you know, I think can be turned back on us. Do we know? Do we get it? Do we fully understand what happens at Christmas and what this is all about? And so I want us, as we should continuously do, and for sure each Christmas, look again at this story that we have heard over and over again through time and through the years, and look at it perhaps afresh, maybe a little bit differently, in order that we may come to understand a little more fully exactly what happened, and then hopefully adjust our lives accordingly to respond to this great gift that happened for you and me so many years ago. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in Luke and spend quite a bit of time in Luke here, the first chapter. And we're going to look at this story, this accounting of Jesus coming to earth. And in chapter 1 and verse 26, it reads, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. There's a lot of mystery surrounding this, you know, this mention of Mary being a virgin. What is that about? And why did God choose this woman, Mary, who was a virgin? And there's a lot of mystery there, and I think sometimes we just have to leave it at that. It is mysterious. We aren't going to fully understand it all. And in fact, I went back and even read what I wrote in the newsletter concerning this mystery of the virgin birth. And I thought, well, you know what? I know I've heard that before, but the more I look at that, I kind of wonder if that's really fully true. And I'll leave it for you to kind of look at that statement that's in there and see what you think about it. Because it is a mystery that God came to Mary. The story goes on and says, and he, Gabriel, came to her and said, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. That phrase is used a few times throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And it was a greeting to signify that God's using you for something. The Lord is with you. And when that was told by a prophet to someone in the Old Testament, that signified that God was going to be using you. But the fact that that statement says the Lord is with you, if we broaden the picture out a bit on that, and I know that I've talked about this quite a bit the last several weeks, this intention of God to be with us is what he originally wanted. You know, go way back to Eden. Remember, we go back to Genesis 1 and 2, and God created human beings to be with him, to share in all this creation, and he would be with us, and we would be with him, and he would be our God, and we would be his people. The Lord is with us. The Lord with you. And there we see that statement again given by Gabriel to Mary, the Lord be with you. And we have this shadowing of God coming to us again to restore what it is that he wanted all along. Mary says in verse 29, she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I thought, you know, maybe that is one of the biggest understatements in all of Scripture, that Mary was perplexed and she pondered this. She's just got meted by Gabriel. Now, we don't have a whole lot of information about Gabriel. We see these pictures of Gabriel, these great big wings, you know. You see these paintings of, we don't know for sure what he looked like. But there are a couple of instances in the Old Testament that share with us a little bit about Gabriel. And I don't want to go back and read all of it, but the one instance is Daniel. Gabriel meets Daniel to tell Daniel about what's going to happen clear at the other end of the timeline when all this stuff's going to get wrapped up. Gabriel comes to him and gives Daniel this vision about what is to take place. And we're not going to go into that. That's for another day. But what I wanted to share with you out of that is Daniel says this about this encounter with Gabriel. So he says this. So he, Gabriel, came near where I stood, Daniel, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. He was terrified by Gabriel. He fell down on his face. Later on in the book, he says, and I, Daniel, was overcome, and I lay sick for some days. He was overwhelmed by the presence of Gabriel to the point it made him sick. And another time that we know a little bit about Gabriel is just before this encounter with Gabriel and Mary, Gabriel comes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. He must be the angel that has the, you know, you're going to be pregnant card, because that just seems like what he does. He goes to Elizabeth to tell her as well, actually to tell Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that they're going to have a child. And Zechariah says the same kind of thing when he meets this angel Gabriel, that he is gripped with fear. We don't know what he looked like, but he scared these two guys. He scared them to the point of sickness. And now he's meeting Mary. So to say that she was simply perplexed and she pondered, I just wonder if she was probably pretty scared as well. We don't know how he manifested himself, how would he look like to her. But he says this in verse 30. First thing he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. How well do you suppose Mary knew Scripture? How well did she know the Bible of the day when Gabriel starts saying these things about your son's going to come and he's going to have this throne, and he's going to be the king of the people of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. How well did she know? Did she recall some of these passages? Go clear back to Genesis. Clear back to Genesis, and we have this statement. We don't know if Mary knew this, but God is telling the people, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, the people of Israel, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him and the obedience of the people is his. That's the first instance of where we find out there's going to be this king that's going to rule forever. And it's this promise that the Jewish people held on to forever and ever. And that is what Gabriel is relating to Mary. Jesus is the one that we have been waiting for. Similarly, maybe she would have heard the psalm recited that says this in Psalm 89 and verse 3. It says, you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Another promise that these people would have been living by, that Mary probably heard, that there's going to be this king that is coming, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And now Gabriel's telling Mary that the son that you are going to have is this king. How does she respond? In verse 34, Mary says this to Gabe. How can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who has said to be barren, for nothing is impossible with God. So Gabriel tells Mary about her cousin here, and you know, we don't know for sure how old Elizabeth is. It just says that she is older. There is one extra biblical account that says that she was around 88. Think about that. Some of you are getting pretty close to 88, and all of a sudden you're going to have a child. We do know that she was older, and I believe Gabriel tells Mary this for the purpose, to kind of affirm to Mary what I just told you is true, because look what we're doing with old Elizabeth over here. But she is a virgin. How can this happen? There is no sexual relations yet with Mary, but Jesus is to be born a virgin. And this fulfills prophecy that says that that is what is going to happen, but it also demonstrates God's power in this tremendous miracle. Never has there been a child born other than with one from a man and a woman. But this is going to demonstrate that this is who God says he is, and what he says he can do, he'll do. And it also helps us understand the nature of Christ, which is a difficult concept for us to understand. The fact that he is born of Mary makes him human. The fact that he is born of the Spirit makes him divine. Christ has two natures. He's fully God and he's fully man. We normally signify that with two candles on the altar, but we couldn't get one to go today. But that's why we do that, because one signifies Christ came to us fully as a human being. Christ came to us fully as God. And Mary's got to soak all this in, and her first reaction, I can't help but think she's going to say, I'm going to be a mom. Can you imagine what is going through her mind? No doubt, there's got to be a whole slew of emotions that are going to be going on. How could this be? I'm so young. You know, think about this. Think about Kendall and think about Lizzie. That's about the age. That's about the age of where Mary was at. I'm so young. What's Joseph going to think? Right? What's Dad going to think? Right? Human dad's pretty tough. What is going to be going through her mind? But I'm going to be a mom. And no doubt, there's you guys here, you've got a lot of moms in the crowd, and you get it. You understand this awesome anticipation of what this would have been like. For some of you, it wasn't that long ago. For some, it was several years ago. But you remember what it was like to anticipate what it was like to be mom. It's a special feeling. Excitement probably won the day. She's going to be a mom. Dad's too. I think we get just as excited as well. This news that we get that we're going to be a dad. I can't wait to take him on the tractor. You know, I can't wait to have tea parties. I can't wait to take him to the golf course and play catch. So excited about a coming child. In Mary's case, she's got all this extra cool stuff that Gabriel announces that this is that promised one. She, no doubt, is probably more anxious and more excited than any other woman because of what has been promised to her. She might not fully understand what it means that here's going to be your son that's going to sit on the throne of David forever. Does she get that? What does that really mean? I'm going to be a mom. What does that really mean? She didn't say it, but it was sort of like this. The first Christmas is coming. What does this all mean? Well, no way she fully knows everything that that means and all of the things that are attached to what happens to us and her on that Christmas. No different than us as well, as we were new parents. No way did we fully understand what was going to happen when we had kids, because there's so much to the package. I think too, though, for us there are similarities in this time of waiting, this Advent that we wait here for a few weeks for Christmas to come. We are anticipating this coming child, and no doubt there's excitement in this time. You know, I'm 50 some years old, I still get jacked up about lighting the church up and decorating and all the good things that happen there. It is a great time. It's a fun time as we prepare for Christmas. There is a joyfulness to this season. There is an exhilaration in our waiting. Kids excited about decorating and fun in all of the reunions. And even though I know it's chaos with all the stuff and trying to get everything done, for the most part, it's a good energy, even though we're so busy. And the food, of course, you know, I'm going to talk about the food of Christmas because we eat, and there's the things you only get to eat once a year that are just awesome. That's part of it. And we got weird clothes we put on sometimes, and office parties and family traditions, all part of this anticipating, this getting ready for the coming of Christ. But we know too that there's something bigger here. It is this tremendous act of God that he humbled himself and came to us as a child, leaving his throne for you and me to take on the form of a human. And it's so remarkable. It's so amazing that he did that. But what he did was so much bigger than we can ever imagine. It has so deep implications for you and me. And so we similarly have that question. It's going to be Christmas soon. What does that mean? I think it's easy to get caught up in all the stuff that goes on and really miss the sight of what is really coming. So think about that time for Mary, and think about the lyric in that song, Mary, Mary, did you know? Did you know what was going to happen? And I got thinking about, you know, this mom that's raising this boy. And the things that we know would have taken place, and would have she anticipated this as she was pregnant or when Jesus was just a boy. And some of the things I want to share with you, think about, put yourself in Mary's point of view here and think about these stories that we know. All familiar stories, you know, but one of the stories we have, the few stories we have when Jesus was a child, around 12 years old, Mary and Joseph were good religious people. They did what was required of them. They went up to Jerusalem to take care of the feast that they were supposed to do. And they did these things. And one time they went up, they did their Passover, and they turned around and came home. And about a day later they figured out, oop, you seen Jesus? Nope, Joseph hadn't seen her, Mary hadn't seen her, they forgot him. They left him at church. We've all kind of done that as well. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus left mom and dad. They headed back to Nazareth. He stays at the temple. And you can imagine Mary and what she would have been thinking, and Joseph, what she would have been thinking. They finally get caught up with him. And it says in verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety. He said to them, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Now, I know that was Jesus and I know it was Mary, but I try to put myself in those sandals and think about if that was my child I hadn't seen for 3 days. And I've raised him for 12 years. And Mary, did you know? Could you imagine the thought going through her mind? And how would have I taken? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? Well, I thought your father's house was back with us in Nazareth. Can you sense a little bit of what's happening here? Boy, what kind of thinking would Mary have going on here? How would have I reacted if my kids would have said, I was at my real home? Get it? Tricky. Mary, did you know that was going to happen? There was another time. Maybe Mary was in the crowd in Luke 11 when Jesus was teaching. He had just given this awesome sermon. And maybe Mary was there, you know, and she's just, you know how moms are at ball games. You know, proud as peacocks. And he just gives this sermon. And a woman stands up and says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. I can see that mom kind of, you know, just get it? What a great sermon. And somebody says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And Mary's kind of, you know. And Jesus says this, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know, just Mary gets deflated, you know. She just almost wants to, wow, Mary, did you know that was what was going to happen? The people are going to say, blessed are you, Mary. But Jesus says, no, blessed rather are those that hear God's word and then obey. Mary, did you know that was how it was going to work? One other time, Jesus is preaching and he's a little stronger this time. And maybe Mary was in the crowd listening to this as well. In verse 49 of chapter 12, Jesus says, do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No. I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. There is division. Mary, did you know that was how it was going to be? You worked so hard to make this family unit where we get together and we go to Jerusalem, we do Passover and we eat the stuff and sing the songs and dance. Family. And Jesus says, no, I didn't come to bring peace, because what's going to happen is division. Did you know that was what it was going to be, Mary? I'm going to be a mom, Mary is thinking. Her child was bringing something awesome and wonderful to the world, but not without cost. Tremendous cost to him and cost to those who would follow him. Jesus' coming, that which you and I celebrate each year, is no doubt, it is a great time, for sure. There is great joy, and there is supposed to be at Christmas. But there are ramifications to our claim to him as Christ. There are deep meanings for us claiming him as our Savior. He didn't come with a big bag of presents to hand out candy canes to everybody and make everybody happy. He came to bring blessings to those who would not just hear his words, but would obey those words. For those who just don't decorate and give presents and sing songs and do all the stuff, but those who will obey. And they will hear his word and they'll change and they'll repent and they'll turn and they'll become who it is that Christ is calling them to be. There is an exclusive nature to our faith. He is the way, not a way. He is the way. And that's going to cause division because there are others that don't believe that he is the way. There will be division. That child in the manger that we think about has to become first and centered in our lives above everything, above our jobs, above our spouses, above our kids. He's got to be first. It's about setting him first as our major priority, having him be Lord over everything. That's the kingdom that you and I are asked to be a part of, that kingdom of which there is no end. And he so wants to be your king. Let's pray.